Namaskar and welcome to Radio Eka. My name is Shruti Deora.
And my name is Priyanka.
And we are your hosts for the Radio Eka podcast.
Eka is a place to learn Yoga Nidra, Pranayama, and meditations from India. We have a mobile app and we also offer daily meditation classes on Zoom. If you want to try the app or join our classes, please check out our website, www.ekameditation.com, or just check the show notes.
In part one of this yoga and exercise series, we understood what kind of exercise one needs to do to maintain a healthy body, especially as we approach the second half of our lives. We talked about the importance of including 150 minutes of moderate intensity cardiovascular activity in our weekly routine. And we also spoke about the second recommendation of including 2 days per week of muscle strengthening.
In addition to the cardiovascular and muscle strengthening components, the American College of Sports Medicine recommends 2 more categories of exercise: flexibility and mobility exercise to enable complete range of motion for joints, and neuromotor exercise training, which involves skills like balance, agility, coordination, and body awareness. Hey Priyanka, isn't it exciting that asanas include not just muscle strengthening, but also improve mobility of joints, flexibility in the body, and enhance balance and awareness of one's body?
Yes, exactly. And for this episode, we will focus on all these components. Besides cardiovascular, specifically focusing on strength training, also known as resistance exercise. Resistance exercise basically means that your muscles are contracting or working to withstand an outer resistance. This can be external weights, but also the weight of your own body. We were happy to hear from Dr. Neha in the last episode that asana practice in yoga can help build our muscle strength, besides supporting an exercise regimen in different ways.
So today we want to delve deeper into the muscle strengthening aspect. What does it really mean? What does it take? What can yoga do or not, etc.? So we thought it's best to speak with a gym instructor to first understand the basics of muscle training. So let us welcome Sunil Kudwa to our conversation today. Sunil is very passionate about health and fitness. He has trained hundreds of fitness instructors, established successful fitness and yoga centers in Delhi, Mumbai, Melbourne, and Mexico. Currently, he runs the very popular Elite Fitness Training Center in Mumbai. He's a qualified personal trainer, aerobics and aqua aerobics instructor, Les Mills trainer, yoga and Pilates trainer, and CrossFit certified trainer. Amazing. He completed his yoga teacher training from Yog Vidya Dham in Nashik. So welcome, Sunil. It is really wonderful to have you join us today.
Thank you, Shruti, for inviting me. I have a new introduction. It makes me sound better than I am, actually.
Sunil, you're amazing and awesome. So I think we are really glad to have you join us today. So we'd like to really start with the basics of, training or strengthening our muscles.
Shruti, I think it would be helpful to understand 2 often confused terms here: muscular strength and endurance.
Yes, sure. So strength is defined as the ability of specific groups of muscle to produce max force to overcome a resistance, either with a single exertion or in a short amount of time. Endurance, on the other hand, is when you perform a muscular action over a sustained period of time or through repeated movements. In our lives, on a daily basis, we need both and use both. So let's take an example. So if you want to lift a heavy box around your house, that takes strength. Or when you do 50 squats or go up a long flight of stairs or run a half marathon, that takes muscular endurance. So during strength training, several exercises could also be targeting endurance. Typically, doing less repetitions with more weight helps to increase your strength, whereas doing more repetitions with lighter weights helps build up endurance. So Sunil, what is the process to build muscular strength and endurance, whether in the gym or outside of the gym?
Okay, strength helps everybody. So whatever the age, whatever the sex, or even people who are injured over a period of time, it will help them a lot. Yeah. So, and if you, as you were saying, the introduction also, especially people, you know, in the latter half of their life, you know, now for them is much, much more important. I would say in terms of hormone building and what happens to the body is much more important for women, much, much more so, because, you know, women tend to lose the estrogen and they have less of testosterone anyway, and later after menopause especially. So strength is for everybody. If you want to go, you know, want me to go very, very specific, I can do that. But what I feel is most people get confused with is the fact that they come and say, I want to build my strength. But what they actually mean is with body composition, not strength. Yeah, usually it is a long haul. Yeah, to build strength. So you have to think of it as a long-term thing rather than a short-term. And when you try to go short-term, that is what leads to injuries.
Yeah. Got it. And talking about, you know, long-term sounds like it's more of a marathon, right? So we have, in this context, we've also heard of terms like endurance and agility. So are these also aspects of strength training or muscular strengthening?
If you want me to step by step, the first most important thing for most people is that when you start exercising, yeah, the joint activation or prehab, that is what I call it. Prehab is like, you know, everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. So when we are talking about joints, which is the shoulder joint, which got a lot of mobility, and the hip joint, which is the ball and socket joint, these have a lot of mobility. Now, the thing is, when you're coming to a gym and you start, you just want to build muscles, you just want to be big, and all those things you start doing, whatever the age I'm saying, yeah, you are not actually devoting enough time to smaller muscles, which try to keep the joint in the right place. If you try to just concentrate on the big muscles, eventually the smaller muscles, which actually work throughout the day because they have to stabilize the body, they get weaker, and that is how you get injuries. That is why one needs to actually concentrate on the prehab, which 90% of the people don't do, or they don't devote enough time to it. So I say that do the joint activation and the prehab and the flexibility and then the strength. That is the step by step. If there is a pie chart, I would say when you start, put most of the time in prehab and joint activation, then in flexibility, and then in strength. And over a period of time, as you get better and better, you will devote lesser time in the joint activation and more in strength.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And sounds like, I mean, we'll come to this later, but sounds like yoga could play a role in developing the joint mobility and the flexibility in the body. So it will prepare your body for the long haul. So that's great.
The mobility, I mean, if it's a pyramid, I would say mobility, flexibility, metabolic conditioning, the cardiovascular conditioning, then the throws and weight training, then the power training, and then the speed, and then the sport comes in. This is the pyramid I'm talking about. Yoga falls over there in the bottom of the pyramid, right? So it helps in the mobility, it helps in the flexibility, yeah, it helps in the balance. So it is for everybody, right?
Yeah, so it seems like yoga does give you the mobility and the flexibility that is the foundation of strength training. But it also feels like you have to approach the gym to build strength. Would like to hear your thoughts on that, Sunil.
So Priyanka, let me say this, you know, you don't need to go to a gym to actually achieve most of your goals. For most people, I'm just saying. For most people, if they do things, usually you need direction, right? Like, for the coach or the gym instructor or anybody who's there is actually trying to help you do things which you want to achieve, hopefully in a safe and effective manner. So what I consider the best is your body weight. But if you learn body weight movement, which is calisthenics, well, so you don't require a gym per se. That's what I'm trying to say. So whenever you're doing certain movements, the hardest or the most challenging one is actually to do your body weight well. To do your body weight well in terms of calisthenics well, the angles and everything else, is actually harder to learn well than to do kettlebell training. Kettlebell training is actually the most forgiving. Then it's actually weight training, and then it's body weight. So that's what, you know, when you see a gymnast, he's only doing his body weight. But that is requires much more out of you than a weight training.
Great. So body weight training is the first step to strength training. And you mentioned calisthenics. That's very interesting. And yoga seems to be like a form of calisthenics, you know, in the sense that it is similar, but there is more emphasis on holding movement and also on integrating the breath with movement. So just talking about yoga, does yoga then specifically provide you that strength and not talking broadly in terms of calisthenics?
When we are talking about asanas and those movements, yeah, of course it does. It you know, if whichever movement which you may be doing, in yoga there is a lot of isometric strength. Isometric means holding position. When you're trying to hold a position, you're trying to stay in that position, right? When you're trying to stay in that position, inhaling, exhaling, and trying to stay, certain muscles are working as a stabilizer. Stabilizer means holding you over there. Certain muscles are doing flexibility. And at the same time, you need to have a range of movement, whatever you may be doing, range of movement. So you're doing mobility also. Yeah, yoga session done well in terms of usually starts with mobility and then goes into flexibility and a normal level of strength, which is the body weight one. Yeah, if done well, it is great.
So, Shruti, it'll be good to understand, I think, here that muscle exercises can be divided into two categories broadly, isotonic exercises and isometric exercises. The isotonic exercises involve contracting the muscles while moving the joints around. So bicep curls or swings that you do with the weight in the gym would be examples of isotonic. Whereas isometric exercises involve contracting the muscles while keeping the joints still. So the plank holds, for example, is a classic isometric exercise. Isometric exercises are great for nervous system activation with lower risk of injuries. And yoga is primarily an isometric movement. Let's also hear more from Sunil.
See, for yoga, is a holding movement, right? Most of the time. Whereas weight training and sports or anything else is a power movement, fast. So it's a concentric, eccentric, or isotonic, whatever you want to call it. Okay? So those are fast movements. Everything, boxing, has to be fast. It cannot be slow or stay in the position. So yoga complements everything. Everything. Yeah, any sport, anything you do. But if you have a specific goal, if it's to do with strength training or if it's if any specific sport, then you have to approach the weight training group. Because that will help you. It is a lower level. Sport is the ultimate because you're trying to be the best that you can ever be. Yeah.
So are there specific metrics or some specific components that we need to include for, you know, when we in our exercise regimen to track how we are doing on our muscle strengthening?
Okay. In a basic level, one would say, okay, we need to test the muscular endurance, which is the upper body strength, with push-ups maybe. And flexibility, which is the toe touch, you know, which is a flexibility box is there. Then do that also. Then if you're not able to do, say, for example, I would say push a plank position on the elbow or on the hands, in a push-up position, you should be able to at least, if you're not able to hold for at least 2 minutes, there is an issue somewhere, which we need to work on. It may be the shoulder, it may be the abs, whatever. So if you're not able to do those things and then straight away go into strength, then we are heading for some injury later down the line, you know. So we keep on checking parameters every month or every 3 months at least. We have to check those things, even the cardiovascular strength and all those things. So, yeah, so if you're trying to classify, it is muscular endurance you have to check. You have to check the flexibility. You have to check the cardiovascular endurance of the person over a period of time. And for the first 1 year, we consider a person to be a beginner level, you know. And that is if the person is exercising regularly, which is 2 to 3 days a week. And after that, you can be intermediate, which goes on for 4 to 5 years of intermediate level, whereby the number of exercises which you can do safely is much more. And after 5 years, that is the time, I'm generalizing, but that is the time most people then have the ability to recruit the muscle fibers in a certain manner to actually approach or scratch the surface of their strength.
Interesting.
So when you see an Olympic level guy, that he's trying to do strength, but he's been doing it for 5 to 10 years or more. You get it? So we just see the person doing it and think of, and you know, and or we try to attempt it, but it takes that long. Olympic level person who's doing a clean and jerk or snatch is extremely agile, very flexible, and strong. And they have extreme power. Power means speed also. So they think. And we just are looking at the side, oh, he's lifting heavy. But the thing, the fact that go fully down with that much amount of weight has the flexibility and the strength. So this takes step-by-step process. We can't, like, no, we can't straight away go and approach it. If we try to do that, there's a high risk of injury. So we have to put the blocks, the building blocks, step-by-step to be able to do those things.
Thanks for that, Sunil. So, see, everybody's fitness goals are different. And we understand that the exercise regimen you adopt would depend on those. But anybody new to the world of exercise might be a bit confused about his or her goals. So what are some of the things one should keep in mind before charting or before starting an exercise regimen?
Personally, I feel like, you know, whenever I look at myself, I look at it, okay, you know, when I'm 90 to 100 years old, for example, you know, let's just say I'm there. Yeah, what are my goals? But I'm talking about myself, okay, not for anybody else. So if I'm lifting heavy weights, that's what I'm talking about. So I should be able to lift 100 kilos. If I'm lifting 160, 170 right now, I will lose approximately 10% every decade. Approximately, I'm just saying. So I have to be able to do 160, 170 kilos right now with squat or deadlift or some of the things, which I have my own thing. Then I will be able to do 100 then, because everything is going to go down, right, over the course of years. So I have that goal, but that is 40 years down the line. For that, I have to keep working now so that I have that. So that is my goal, strength goal. So when a person is coming, most people don't realize the fact that everything is going to happen slowly. You cannot be straight away strong. Everything cannot happen fast. The body will not change fast. There are 4 things to being healthy. First is, most important is, this is what I say, is sleep. Because sleep is an order that is great. After that is stress. Everybody's different how they handle stress. But if you can handle stress in a certain manner, that is good. After that comes nutrition. After nutrition comes exercise. Exercise is movement. Now, if you're trying to address exercise, which is what we're talking about right now, the talk is like that. But first three are not right, then how does it work? It is not going to work. It's not going to help you if you're just trying to exercise hard, 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 hard. You look a certain way, but you will crash soon, you know? So nutrition is not right, sleep, stress, and sleep. You get it? So, nowadays, people are so, they want to party hard. They want to work out hard. They want to do everything hard. Then the body falls apart. And then we have a discussion about, you know, that guy was only 40 years old and he had a heart attack. He used to run a marathon. He used to eat well. But what you don't realize is the person was burning the candles at both ends, you know. So it's going to fall apart. I'm not trying to blame anybody. All that I'm trying to say is the evolutionary, everything happens slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you address your weaknesses, once you address your things and have some patience and don't have too much ego, not in the US and in terms of otherwise also, then it's going to help you in the long run.
So sounds like...
Look at the long picture.
Yeah, so sounds like yoga is the perfect solution because it definitely helps with stress management. It helps with, you know, better sleep. And it helps with your exercise as well. So could we talk a little bit about ego?
That is the most important.
Great. I think, Sunil, this was very useful. And I think we will respect your time. I know your clients are waiting for your training sessions. So I think we should let him go, Priyanka. Is that good?
Thank you. Thanks for that, Sunil. It also brings me to a last observation on any obvious gaps in Hatha Yoga on muscle groups. And there seems to be one big prominent gap, which is the upper body pulling strength. And for that, we should complement our asana practice with pull-up or some form of similar exercises. Yeah, and another observation that I have made is that when you start building muscle, most people who've not done any muscle strengthening all their lives, when they start doing muscle strengthening, they would need to do it every day. So, Iyengar says in his book that you should practice every day. Yoga should be practiced every day. So although the recommendation is for 2 days of muscle strengthening exercise every week, the recommendation says that all the muscle groups of the body should be exercised. But when you start practicing, you will not be ready to exercise all of them. It's a slow process, a gradual process. So in the beginning, the muscle strengthening, you might need to spend a lot more time than just 2 days a week.
Thanks, Priyanka. I think that makes a lot of sense. And actually, this has been a very insightful episode for me personally. My key takeaways from what we heard from Sunil is that we need to really build a foundation for achieving our goals in terms of our fitness, but specifically muscular strength and endurance, which involves enhancing mobility of joints and improving flexibility in the body. So we learned that yoga can be a great foundational practice for building muscle strength with isometric movements. In fact, this aligns with my personal experience as well. The weeks when I did yoga, in addition to my weight training, those sessions felt easier and I felt stronger in my workout sessions. Last but not the least to remember is that it all depends on our personal goals and state of health. Whenever we start, we have to build on the foundation of where we are in our fitness journey. So with that, we bring this episode to a close and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and I think we missed talking about neuromotor exercise training and skills like coordination and body awareness and balance. So let's explore those themes in the upcoming episodes. See you next week.